Thanks, councillors. Thanks, members of the community coming in. Tuesday, the 8th of December. My microphone seems very loud at the moment, but that's all right. For those that are listening by recording, welcome. The agenda sits. Thank you, John. The agenda sits in front of us, so we'll make a start. Moving along. Although councillors are present, as confirmed, any apologies? Nil. In attendance are the directors, as listed. Would somebody like to move the confirmation of the minutes of the meeting that was held on the 10th of November 2020 be received and confirmed? Councillor Sheriff. I have a seconder. Councillor Knott, thank you. All those in favour, please say aye and show your hands. Thank you. That was all councillors in favour then, Marilyn. Council workshops held since last meeting have been listed. You've got announcements by the Mayor. You've got announcements by councillors. Are there any declarations of interest from any councillors? No paperwork was received, so I gather not. Thank you. Tabling actions on petitions, General Manager. Nil. Public question time, over the page. We have some public questions with notice. One that has been answered by the General Manager. Councillor question time, councillors' questions taken on notice, which has been answered. Councillor questions with notice, there are nil. Councillor questions without notice. Councillor Temple. Just hold on a bit longer, perhaps, Councillor. Technical services. Oh, hang on.
It's working now. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
That was my fault. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just my usual question. Is there any update on the proposed prison for the record?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, no.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Sinfield. Can you turn your microphone on, Councillor?
Whilst there's a specific agenda item dealing with Westbury and growth and changing of zoning, this is a more general question. Through the Chair, is there a, as part of the LPS, the local provision schedule for Westbury, is it proposed to change the urban mixed use zone, so basically the main street and William Street and Meander Main Road, is it proposed to change that from its current urban mixed use zone to village zone?
Please come up and...
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes.
And supplementary, how does that fit in with the notion that what's been commented on in fairly recent times that Westbury is really a town and not a village? How does setting up the future of Westbury with its predominant commercial areas as part of a village zone, how does that concept tie in, if you could expand on that, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The first premise is that you would have to assume there's logic in the Tasmanian planning scheme, and there isn't. So the village zone, and the reason why it's proposed to change it for a fairly substantive strip of a town, is that the range of uses and their classifications were better suited to a rural town as opposed to, say, for example, Elizabeth Street, North Hobart, is the sort of area that the Tasmanian planning scheme envisaged for the urban mixed use zone. So it had a different range of provisions and restrictions and allowances. Some were not appropriate for a rural town, and others were too strict for a rural town, didn't have any flexibility. So the village zone offered the best flexibility. And the urban mixed use zone in the Tasmanian planning scheme is quite different from the urban mixed use zone for the northern region's interim planning schemes that were done in 2013. That's why the change back, essentially.
Thanks. Thanks, Joe, for that. Thanks, councillors. Any other questions without notice? Hopefully you've got that written down, councillor, so you can give it to Marilyn to put into the minutes. Okay. Thank you. All right. No deputations by members of the public? Nope. Okay. So for the purposes of considering the following planning authority items, council is acting as a planning authority under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. So we're into Planning Authority 1, which is 5271 Bass Highway, Deloraine. We have some people to speak on that to start off with. We have one representer and then two applicants. So for those in the gallery that haven't been here before, I'll get you to please, when you come forward to the microphone, tell us your name, where you live, and you have 3 minutes to address the council. Now, it's not a debate, it's not a question, it's a statement from those of you there. We can't answer questions that you may put to us, but we will hear what you have to say. So on that basis, I'll ask Amelia Reynolds to come forward, and you have 3 minutes, Amelia. If you can use the microphone, please, for the purpose of those that are listening on tape at a later date. You got
3 minutes. Good afternoon, Mayor Johnston, Deputy Mayor Kelly, councillors, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Amelia Reynolds and I live at 5273 Bass Highway, Deloraine. Today I speak for myself and for my neighbours who have work commitments today, Harry Haynes, Darren Rumble, Barry Reynolds, Mark Wadley and Jacqueline Reynolds. We are deeply concerned about the proposed development of a transport depot on Griffins Road. We are concerned about safety, the financial cost, the lack of space and the environmental and aesthetic impact. There has been one recorded serious crash and we are aware of two further serious crashes at the intersection of the Bass Highway and Griffins Road in the last 5 years. There have also been six crashes, including fatalities, since 2009 at the intersection of the Bass Highway and Christmas Hills Road, which is in very close proximity. This intersection has a designated turn-in lane. We are very concerned about the safety of 26-metre B-doubles and large machinery, including 19.5-metre triaxle semi-trailers, turning into Griffins Road from the Bass Highway in a 110-kilometre zone. The applicant states that all trucks travelling from the west go to Deloraine to perform a U-turn, so all heavy vehicles enter Griffins Road from the east, so they do not cross the highway. We do not believe that this is feasible or logical for a busy, growing business. The applicant's traffic impact statement states that Section E4.7.2, Management of Road Accesses and Junctions, is not satisfied. The Department of State Growth's objectives for the Bass Highway are to maintain traffic safety and transport efficiency, as are the Meander Valley Council objectives for Griffins Road. Griffins Road is not part of the Tasmanian 26-metre B-double network and it will require widening to allow for turn movements of 26-metre B-doubles and for traffic to pass a stopped truck. Griffins Road is not delineated and the surface is very old and in poor condition. We are concerned that these issues would incur a considerable financial cost to the Meander Valley Council and ratepayers. The applicant has stated that Dornoff Contracting has grown from a local transport freight company in 2014 to an interstate freight company by 2015. The site is already crowded and there have been numerous occasions when B-doubles have been parked on the verge of Griffins Road. It is naive to believe that the business will not outgrow the proposed site in the short term. Land and earthworks and a new entrance from Griffins Road have already been undertaken by the applicant without any council approval or notice made to neighbouring families. Two letters were submitted by us to council regarding this matter, dated the 2nd of August 2019 and the 18th of May 2020. We are concerned about the use of a pressure washer, greasing and general mechanical repairs that will result in fuel, oils and residual chemicals being washed downhill into the creek. There are protected freshwater crayfish in this creek. We have concerns about the aesthetic impact on the surrounding rural landscape and the adjoining 1800s homesteads. This historic rural area contains some of the best agricultural land in Tasmania, and the aesthetic impact of this proposal is of concern for us personally and for the growing number of tourists to the Meander Valley. We support the growth of the businesses in the Meander Valley, but we would find it inappropriate for council to outlay money, particularly in a climate of financial shortfall, to upgrade road infrastructure for a business that has already outgrown its premises and one that could potentially impact on the safety of others. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Dornoff or Selena? Selena, okay, Selena Scott.
Good afternoon. Yep. Good afternoon, Deputy Mayor and all the councillors. My name's Selena Scott and this is Chris Dornoff. We are the owners of Dornoff Contracting and we are the residents of 5271 Bass Highway, Deloraine. I would like to point out that our business was well established prior to the earthworks completed in June 2019 and our planning application submitted. Dornoff Contracting was established back in 2014 as a local transport freight company, expanding further by 2015 to interstate freight, potato contracting and cropping. Dornoff Contracting is a small private company that only consists of three owners and employees, those including myself, Chris and one employee. Our business operations are based around primary and agriculture production, transport services that also include the cropping, transport of crops, produce, livestock, cartage, general freight, i.e. the stock feed, agriculture-based products and machinery. We are a small growing business. It is financially for a young small business like us to purchase or lease a major site in an industrial area, like the objectors are pointing out. We have no more comments about our transport depot to complicate the proposal more. I have been back and forth with the council more than enough and addressed any concerns, questions from them. It is just a private yard for a young small business to operate and that is going through a tough industry. We just are happy to address what needs to be done that is reasonable. That's all.
Okay. Thanks, Selena. Thank you. No other representatives on this one. Okay, councillors. Somebody like to move that the motion that's in front of us be accepted? Councillor Sheriff. Seconder for that motion? Councillor Cameron. Councillor Sheriff has a move of the motion. Do you want to make any comments? Thank you. Councillor Cameron.
Thanks, Andy. Okay, well, I spent a fair bit of time reading this one, actually. I don't think I have any great concerns with it. My issues really were around safety, and I think the applicants are actually going to have to do some quite substantial upgrades at their cost to rectify some of those safety issues. So I think for that side of it's okay with me. There is a really long list of recommendations. They're actually quite, I don't know what the right word is, particular, possibly, with some of them. I think that some of those recommendations will hopefully alleviate some of the concerns. I mean, things around visual, the look of things, that's not really something that we can assess in planning. So at this stage, I'm happy to support it.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillors, open up for discussion. Well, I'll lead off. To the planners then, the turning in and out of this particular road with B doubles has been ticked off by a traffic assessment. Yep.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, it has. It was assessed as part of the traffic impact assessment that the applicant submitted with their application.
Yep, also ticked off by State Roads as no safety concerns, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Well, I've no other comments, questions on that one. Councillors, open up for discussion, debate. Councillor Deputy Mayor Kelly.
Yeah, look, we've had discussions. Safety was my concern also, and given the fact that the traffic assessment's been ticked off on, that's queried that, and I think there's also been a little bit of discussion about Griffin's Road's due for a little bit of a tidy up any rate. So, yeah, I'm quite happy to go with the development.
Okay. Councillor Temple.
I'd just like to ask about the aesthetics of the area and screening of the site.
Can you be more specific,
well, just Councillor? What is intended, because it is in one of the most beautiful parts of Tasmania, and it is out of keeping with its surrounding areas.
Natasha?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The applicants are proposing a colour bond fence along Griffins Road, along the extent of the transport depot area. It's a height of 1.8 metres. There is a power line easement along the tidal boundary. So there needs to be... The location of that fence needs to meet clearance distances from TAS networks, which are two metres above the top of the fence to the power line. The fence itself, whilst it's not going to block all views of the machinery that is going to be stored on the site, it will block the ground-based views along Griffins Road. When you drive along the highway and you look at the site, it is very fleeting, so you only get small amounts of vistas available to the site, so you can't really see it, and it blends in with normal farmyards that are typical in the rural resource areas. I am recommending a landscape screen be planted along the northern extent of the transport depot area, so that when you enter Griffins Road from the Bass Highway, it will grow up and it will actually block some of the views of the site, and it's only where there are gates and when you're at a higher elevation along Griffins Road that you will actually see majority of the development.
Thank you. Other questions? Councillor King.
Just a comment rather than a question. Thanks, Natasha, for putting so much effort into this one. And I just wanted to note that though it is a recommended... The officer's recommendation is to approve with eight conditions, with up to four elements in those conditions. So a tremendous amount of work has been made to satisfy both the scheme and those that have come forward with concerns. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillors, Councillor Sinfield.
Yeah, my concern is predominantly the safety issue. I asked, and I've asked this previously, what's the difference between accessing and egressing from Griffins Road onto the highway in terms of other roads in the vicinity, like Christmas Hills Road, Benjo Road, or Dunallan Road, whatever the actual title of that is. And thinking about it further, there is a difference. They have slip lanes attached to them for the more contentious part of crossing. So if you're coming heading east, turning into Dunallan Road, you've got a slip lane there. If you're heading west, the road actually broadens out off onto the road shoulder so that you're slowing down prior to that. The problem I have with this one is that it has a bit of a runoff area heading west, but if you're coming up the highway turning right into Griffins Road, there is no slip lane. How do we view, especially a large truck or a tractor that has to wash off most of its speed before it can turn, how has that impacted? I know we've had an official assessment done, and I've asked a question previously about the use of tractors as opposed to the assessment, which seemed to be predominantly based on trucks and faster moving vehicles. I experience quite a bit difficulties with slow moving vehicles on the highway between Deloraine and Westbury, for example. There is no alternate road in that section. We have Meander Main Road, and it's highly problematic as to what people do when they try to get past these vehicles that are at slower speed. And I know that's only a small portion of the business, and how is it different to a normal farm, but I and it's in a sense not what's before us today, the assessment of an alternate site going to an industrial precinct, etc. But I do think it's a problem that other businesses have gone and set themselves up in industrial precincts, or Pages have established themselves, which is a large business, but it had to start somewhere, set themselves up on Oaks Road so as to avail themselves of the on and off ramps where you can gain and lose speed off the highway without actually seriously impacting on other traffic. And I went and visited this site late last week, and on coming back up to the highway, I had to, the vehicle that was coming into Griffin's Road had to get off the road to let me past, and I know that we're going, there probably be some work done to address those issues in the future, but that's not how it is right now. So I think for those reasons I will not be supporting the motion that's before us today. But I wish the proponents every success with their business. It's not an issue of about that, and I would like to think that maybe council could work with them to find an alternative, not only them, but other people as well, in terms of the issue. It's not about whether or not you can do something. It's about whether it's in the right spot.
Thanks, Councillor Sinfield. Councillors, any other discussion? Councillor Knott? Microphone, please, Councillor. Yep.
I understand what the seconder, Councillor Cameron, intimated the number of recommendations, the number of conditions that were being asked to this, including fence, 3 months to put three car parking spaces, compacted gravel service, east of the shipping container, directional signage. Councillor Sinfield's mentioned the safety issue, that the you'd all realise that the road widening is at the developer's expense. They established two new accesses, and one access that was previously constructed to be upgraded. I guess my concern is, not that I know the area well, but listening to, reading the agenda item and looking at the recommendations and hearing around the table what comments have been made, that the concern is, I think, growth. Two things. Growth in one sense. Most of the things are covered by conditions. The second one is the value of that land. And I guess it's farming land and particular in that particular area. So I will put my thinking cap on and just hear any other comment and discussion before I make a decision on that. But I have some concerns, and I think that congratulations to the applicants establishing the business and moving on with it, and obviously expanding. But I think the concern may well be the permit for the B-double trucks and so on, but the future use and future growth. So I'll be listening and thinking about my vote. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillors, anything else? Any other questions, comments? Before I put the vote. No, I won't put the vote. I'll come back to the mover and seconder, sorry. Nothing else? Councillor Cameron is the seconder.
Just wanted to clarify that point. This application is for, as it sits now, if the applicants want to expand, they would need to put in another application. So if they choose to grow further, then that's good, I guess. But Thanks. It's not to do with this application.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Sheriff is the mover of the motion.
I'd just like to acknowledge the work that the council staff have put into this. Also need to acknowledge that this proposal does tick all the boxes in the performance criteria. I'd also like to acknowledge that these are two young people that are trying to have a bit of a crack. And obviously, if they do expand and outgrow their area, they have got, I suppose, the option of going elsewhere. But at this stage, it's obviously not necessary with what they're doing. Also, I suppose if you look at the intersection of Dunallan Road, if you was to come out of Dunallan Road and turn back towards Deloraine, there's no slip lane there, and the viewing distance is a lot worse than what it is on Griffin's Road. But there's no pull off area. So the argument I see there is if the government are prepared to leave Dunallan Turnoff Road as it is, I believe this has got better sighting distance than that. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy to support it.
Thanks. Okay. On that basis, then, I will put the motion. Please, all those in favours, please raise your hand so I can get a clear distinction. That is Councillors King, Sheriff Bauer, Knott, Cameron, Kelly, Johnston. Those that are against, Councillor Temple and Sinfield. Motion is carried. Thank you. So, those in the gallery that do not wish to sit for the next part of the meeting can leave if you so wish. Righto. Oh, I've gone too far. Yeah, I'm looking for my dog tag, e-tag, whatever it's called. There I am. Okay, Planning Authority 2239 Wadley's Road, Reedy Marsh. What's somebody... Oh, no, we don't go that way yet. We've got applicant to address the council matter. Sorry? Well, he may not. Well, he's down to speak, so I guess... you're just attending. Well, that's all right then. 2 months in a row. Thanks, Paul. Okay, on that basis, I put the motion. Somebody like to move? Councillor King. Councillor King wanting to move an alternative motion. Okay, and your alternative motion... It's already with Marilyn. Would somebody like to see that? No. Councillor Cameron is seconding the alternative motion. That was very quick. We're just waiting for the alternative motion to be put up on the screen so councillors can see the alternative motion. Sorry. Okay. Councillor Knott.
Is it possible to have that run off sites in front of us?
Yes, it is. Okay, so while we are reading our way through the alternative motion, which I'm not going to read out, I don't think. Or should I, for those that... I reckon it's a good job for the general manager to actually read that out. Well, I think somebody needs to read it because it has been recorded. So, yeah, if you could possibly do that. Thanks, Krista.
Oh, you're welcome. The motion is that the application for a three-lot subdivision at 239 Wadleys Road, Reedy Marsh, can achieve compliance with the Meander Valley Interim Planning Scheme performance criteria for subdivision in the rural living zone through the inclusion of conditions on a permit. In particular, the local area objectives and desired future character statements for Reedy Marsh to, first point, minimise development visibility from roads and other dwellings, provide for substantial separation between building areas, and minimise the clearance of standing vegetation. These criteria are met through the inclusion of conditions for Lot 1 that require the careful location of the boundary fence to avoid the removal of trees within the E. ovata threatened vegetation community identified in the applicant's report. B, a change to the boundary of Lot 2 to provide for a development area, including an appropriate bushfire hazard management area on the cleared land to the southwestern side of the proposed Lot 2, adjacent to the existing access track. And C, the identification of a designated development area on lots 1 and 2 with restrictions on native vegetation removal outside of that development area, and to require the retention of native vegetation to the frontage of Lot 1 through a Part 5 agreement. And then it goes on to list the recommended conditions on a permit.
Sorry, I missed the first bit. Could you read it? No, I'm only... thank you, Krista. Okay. So we have a mover and a seconder of an alternative. Councillor King, as the mover of the motion, would you like to speak? Please turn your microphone on. Thank you.
I haven't got a lot to say other than I think, even though I attended the last meeting via Zoom, I think that this amendment gives the application a little more strength with regard to compliance of the scheme. So that's about it, really.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Cameron is the seconder.
Also don't have a lot to say. Other thank you to Mr Heathcote for coming for 2 months in a row. It's been very enjoyable. But also for your time, we did go out and have a good investigation, and from what really I learnt for that is I'd much rather see someone maintain a slightly smaller block to the best of their ability probably than have some larger ones that aren't maintained. So I'm happy to support this motion.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillors, Councillor Kelly.
Yes, look, I'm happy. I think this is a win-win situation. It was good that we took the extra month to work through a few issues. I'll be pretty much supporting it unless I hear otherwise.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly. Councillors? Councillor Knott?
Thank you, Mr Mayor. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. The last time it came before us, a month ago, I actually moved for refusal. The situation has changed for approval. Another look at the situation with the obviously special criteria. And I think the detailed information provided by our senior strategic planner, Joe Oliver, makes us look at the situation a little differently, or quite a bit differently. I found out, as far as planning's concerned, that in some regards the lot size is not necessarily the be-all and end-all. There is some flexibility. It's not like opening the window, but it's like the door is ajar. And providing configuration and special criteria are used for in other aspects, it does change the situation quite considerably. I was a great believer, and I understand listening to Mr. Ricketts, the 15 hectare minimum size of lots, but I also understand that as a precedent, there are smaller lot sizes, smaller titles in Reedy Marsh, There was a precedent at Farrell's Road where a 10-hectare lot was divided into two fives. And I guess the thing that I was aware last time, timing's everything. Now with this scheme, it's we're dealing with a 15-hectare minimum, but in fact there is a window of opportunity. Whereas in the next scheme, which will be next year and wherever, it's mandatory 12 hectares. So the door and the stable is bolted or shut. It's a bit like, I suppose, currently if you're driving a car and you get caught speeding and it's 80, the current time is 80 kilometres an hour, and yet the new scheme was 60 kilometres an hour, then it does make a difference as to when this particular issue comes to us. For those who like crayfish, it might be allowed to catch 8 crayfish this year, but in the new scheme, say it's 6 crayfish. So it does get... I understand that this particular position, as far as an alternative, is defendable, and that's an important issue as far as I'm concerned. It could well be a test case for Reedy Marsh, because I know that there's some other... It's interesting also, the neighbours support this, one neighbour being Mr Ricketts, second neighbour was concerned about lot size and lives in Prospect Vale. I noticed that the near neighbours supported it. In fact, Mr Ricketts lives a little way away in Larkins Road, so it's not in that sense. And the reps of one of the concerns of mine was that the reps were advised that it was coming back to council and be dealt with today. Okay, it is opportunistic, and I suppose you use what you can. I think the conditions, as mentioned in the approval there, as far for alternative, I'm happy to agree. I know that. Mr Ricketts is passionate in that sense, but the conditions and the situation we now find ourselves in is quite a bit different. And I thank Jo Oliver for where she was involved initially with the planning and the listing of the 15 minimum hectare. So it does put a different perspective on things, and I'll be supporting it.
Thanks, yeah, Councillor Knott. Thank you. Councillors, anyone else? Nope. No one else? Okay, we'll go back to the seconder of the motion, Councillor Cameron. Nothing to add. Councillor King, as the mover of the motion.
I'm just a little bit confused about the relevance of crayfish and speeding fines, but other than that, I'm all good.
Thanks, Councillor King, and on that basis, I will leave the crayfish and the speeding fines alone and we'll look at putting the motion forward. So I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. And I acknowledge Councillor Bower, Sheriff King, Sinfield, Knott, Cameron, Kelly, Johnston, against Councillor Temple. Thank you. Moving on, planning item 3. Yes, page 270. Oh, yes, yes, Mr. Hickett, you can leave. Our next meeting is sometime in January if you want to come back again or you... Hey, okay. Thank you. Oh. Well. Okay. Moving on, Planning Authority 3, which is the draft amendment to urban residential growth at Westbury. So, would somebody like to move? What? Sorry? Speaker? Oh, I've got a speaker. Sorry. Where's my other piece of paper? I covered it up. Sorry. Two speakers or one? Two. Okay. We'll just... sorry for that. So, I'll call on John Johnson to come forward if you want to. And speak to the councillors. You don't have to. No, well, that's all right. Your name's on my list, so therefore that's what I'm asking. You don't have to. No. All right, okay. Dale, you can if you want to, but you don't have to. Okay. I'll just get you to state your name, and you've got 3 minutes, Dale, to talk to us if you want 3 minutes.
Okay, thank you, Mayor, Deputy Mayor, councillors, for the opportunity. And yeah, last time I was here, I wasn't fully across protocol of addressing the meeting, so hopefully I can do a bit better this time. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge the work that Joe Oliver has put in and the help that John Dent at PDA Surveying has helped me with. And I'd like to address a few of the representations to the subdivision that I'm intending to do. There was a couple of people on Waterloo Street that weren't happy with it, and I can understand their point of view. Not much we can do about it except to say to them, if they really want their rural outlook and the town on the southern side of them, they're quite welcome to purchase a block and move 400 metres north. my neighbour with the hedge issue on the western end of it, I've spoken to Joe and to John Dent, and we've come up with a solution that we can leave a track of land there big enough to get council machinery in and maintain the hedge, and the hedge will stay. I'm happy with the hedge staying, so I think we've solved that one. The issue with Westbury Show, I've had quite a long talk to Kevin Latton, who's the president of the Show Society, and I just want to say that I'm actually a member of the Show Society, as of members of my family for five generations, so I've got no issue with Westbury Show. The Show Society, the showground, the show committee, I want to sort of cooperate with them fully. And Kevin had the same attitude towards me and what my family are trying to do. So I think we can work through whatever issues are there. There were mention of some traffic issues, traffic management issues, and the initial plan that I'd presented to Joe had sort of streets coming out onto Waterloo Street, Taylor Street and Littleton Street. I don't know if you've got it, I dropped one into the desk this morning. We'll work through that, but it's got everything coming out onto Littleton Street and there's nothing coming onto Waterloo Street or Taylor Street, so hopefully we can sort of either adopt that one or do a bit more work and keep going on until everyone's happy. There was issues with wildlife. There's six trees on that block, on that 12-hectare block, where possums live. And there are bandicoots living there. This morning I was actually there and I saw a blue-tongued lizard. But we all know in people's backyards we see bandicoots and possums and blue-tongued lizards, and I think if people have got fruit trees and veggie gardens, they'll quite happily come back there and make a nuisance to themselves in even stronger numbers. So I think that one's dealt with. And the agricultural land. I have, and my family have successfully grown crops of poppies there, grain crops and grazed livestock there, but I've got no intention of taking the spoils of this project and retiring to the Gold Coast. I've still got quite a substantial tract of land that I intend to invest into the infrastructure of that land and keep on farming and hopefully do it better than what I am at the moment with this piece of land in tow. So I think I've addressed most of the issues that people brought up with their representations. So, again, thank you for your putting it through your meeting, I think, two meetings ago, and I think we can all move forward. One thing I forgot to mention too, if we're talking about around about 125, that's just for simple maths, houses being built there, and you've got mum, dad and a couple of kids in every house, that's 500 extra people on Westbury. That'll keep the school open. That'll keep the doctor's surgeries open. Hopefully the new dentist that's going to start up next month will stay there. The pub doors will stay open. I've seen them shut twice in the last 10 years. The footy club went into recess. Hopefully that'll never happen again. So, please take that into consideration with your deliberations as well. And thank you all very much.
Thanks, Dale. Appreciate that. You've obviously looked at my tooth, but anyway. I lost one the other night, so I need a good dentist. Okay. All right. So, would somebody like to move that this motion goes forward? Councillor Kelly. Oh, my pen stopped working. Hang on. Start.
Seconder for the motion, please, Councillor Bower. Thank you. As the mover, Councillor Kelly, would you like to?
No, look, I'll just open it up for discussion at this point.
Thank you. Councillor Bower?
Yeah, I'll just make a statement, I guess. I guess I have received some feedback from ratepayers in Westbury about the smaller lot, 450 lot sizes that will come through with the state planning scheme, and that was a big area of concern for those ratepayers. So although the senior planner has indicated that Westbury does not have a market for smaller lot sizes, I do congratulate you for erring on the side of caution and putting in a new standard for Westbury to have the lot sizes at 700, just in case.
Thanks, Councillor Bower. Councillors, discussion, queries? Councillor Sinford?
Up front, seriously tempted to vote no if the population of possums is going to go up, but thinking that through, they might actually migrate from Western Creek to Westbury, so that could be a plus. I think that makes that neutral. I think the issue of the lot size is to be commended. I think it addresses quite a few of the community concerns in terms of, you know, maintaining a certain degree of character for Westbury. I think also the pedestrian accesses, etc., the retention of hedges and other things like that are pluses. And I think it can achieve a good outcome. And you're always going to have a boundary somewhere between suburbia and peri-urban and rural interface, and it's always issues. But I think, you know, with the highway to the north, that's a natural boundary in a sense, and the localised floodplain issue. But I think where it's heading is in a good direction.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Knott.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On page 284, there's a comment from a number of representatives to do with traffic. Mr. Burke's indicated that the road network adequately provides for traffic volume and safety, however, will require some improvement works of the surrounding network, such as minor road widening. Could someone indicate where that road widening might be and who's responsible for it?
Over to Joe for response, please.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So the immediate frontages to the land to be rezoned is the responsibility of the developer. That's pretty standard practice. As we had discussed before, council really does need to commit to putting a bit of attention into some of the broader networks. So, for example, Marriott Street as the principal route back to the supermarket. William Street is good, although we'll need some attention in regards to, say, some pedestrian crossings from the site, and part of Littleton Street as it tracks back to Marriott Street. Potentially some of the junctions with Meander Valley Road might need a little bit of treatment. They are sufficient now and can accommodate the traffic, as Mr. Burke has indicated. But council may wish to, just on a more general level, not because of need or any trigger of this development. You know, some people have raised concerns, for example, with the major junction with Meander Valley Road and William Street. So we may look at that in the future in terms of working with the state government for adjustments. So there's a range of measures that Richard has mentioned and highlighted that council sort of can look at, some of which are necessary, like minor road widening and a little bit of junction treatment. And some are not necessary but would enhance the amenity and usability and functionality of the traffic environment for Westbury. Does that make... Yeah.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks. My query, Joe, is if we don't go ahead with what we've got in front of us at the moment, what's the lifespan of building opportunities in the meander in this Westbury area at the current rate of applications coming in?
So, through you, Mr. Mayor, in the report, I sort of highlight recent rates of development. So including the potential for re-subdivision of some of the larger blocks. There's only about 4 years' supply, less if the higher rates of development prevail. And currently all of Tasmania is experiencing a higher level of demand, particularly with interstate migration. Meander Valley's no exception, and we have certainly been feeling it since the beginning of this year. So possibly less than four, possibly even less if landowners that have those larger blocks don't seek to subdivide one or two lots off. So there's even less supply.
Yep. Okay, and can I just add, I guess, from my farming background, for us to be looking at subdividing prime agricultural land is a worry, but it is an option going forward. So as Mayor of Meander Valley, looking at the progress of Westbury, I guess this is certainly an ideal opportunity for us to make sure that the future building blocks are available in Westbury. So that's my two bobs worth. Any other questions before I come back to Councillor Knott? Yep. Sorry, I'm just going to... Yep. Please, Councillor Knott. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Bower made mention of the 700 square metre lot size, and I think that's a positive, very much so, rather than the 450s, because we've heard of that. And I understand that many of the those that were had some concerns about this development live closer in, closer to the centre of Westbury rather than the outlying areas. And we've heard about the number of lots perhaps dwindling and so on. Good to hear Mr. Badcock mentioning contact with the Show Society and Kevin Letton, so and his response to the Neighbours' Hedge. And I think the comment about no traffic onto Waterloo and Taylor Street is a positive. And I thought the last comment was probably the best of all, and that is investing in Westbury, looking at the size and future population, particularly with schools and medical health issues, health establishments and so on. So I wish him all the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Okay, Councillors, any other discussion? If not, go back to the seconder of the motion, Councillor Bower. Nothing, thank you. Councillor Kelly is the mover of the motion.
Yeah, look, I'll keep it short and sweet. I do really want to thank Dale for the efforts and energy, and it's pretty bold to go down this path. So well done. The timing is pretty much spot on from what we can gather from the expert planners. Also, Joe, the amount of work that you put in, the detail that you give us is fantastic, so I do want to thank you for your work that you do there. And it's good to see that, you know, we do have to be progressive as a council, and I think this is, you know, demonstrating that we're heading in the right direction with, you know, sensible developments. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor, and I will put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. So we have Councillor Kelly, Johnston, Cameron, Knott, Sinfield, King, Sheriff Bower, for, against. Councillor Temple is against. Thank you. Those in the gallery can leave if you so wish to leave. We will now move out of acting as a planning authority. Right out. Yep. Nice. Yep.
No.
No. Yes, just because I speak doesn't mean I'm not happy.
Oh.
No, I guess that Councillor Bower and I will deal with the audit report quarterly meeting next week, so that this gives an indication of where we're heading and so on. So,
okay.
Further today. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Bower, what was that? No. All right. No other discussion. Then I'll put the put the motion. Was that Councillor Bower? Was you right? No. Okay. All those in favour, please. Oh, sorry. I'll go on there quick. Okay, sorry, Councillor. Hang on, no, I've got to go get Councillor Cameron as a seconder. Any comment, Councillor? Okay, Councillor Kelly.
No, you can put it to the vote, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Okay, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? That is unanimous, Marilyn. That is all councillors. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, infrastructure one. Recommend the council confirms continuation policy number 15, drive over crossovers, with amendment as follows. Somebody like to move? No. Councillor King and a second to Councillor Kelly. Councillor King, any? Can you turn your microphone on, please, and say that?
Just acknowledging that we actually have a policy to deal with driveway crossovers, because we must need one.
True. Councillor Kelly, thank you.
No comment.
Councillors, any other? Councillor Temple?
A question, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
If this policy is implemented and council wishes to alter a crossover, does it need to put in an application?
That's a question for Dino, who's now at the table and is about to turn his microphone on. Come on, Dino, turn your mic on, please. Thank you.
I guess the question, I would require clarification in terms of amending one of our own driveways or someone else's.
Either which way.
Okay.
I can answer that.
If council was undertaking work to on a driveway, for example, the works department, they implement SWIMs. We've got public liability insurance, etc. So, no, I wouldn't expect Matthew to lodge a working the road reserve form for myself. If we serve notice on a property owner and ask them to do work on their driveway because it's unsafe or whatnot, they would need to apply. Yep.
Through Mr. Mayor, do we need to clarify that within the document?
It's in number three.
Number three says it applies to the council. That's the point I was just making.
We define the definition of a driveway crossover with capital letters, and then we've had that in the policy, and we then changed it to small letters. Very minor, but I would have thought if you're using a definition in a certain manner, then you would have consistency in your document in terms of the words.
Well, they're either big driveways or little driveways.
Well, that could be true.
Okay, I'm sure Dino will take that on board. Thanks, Councillor. Any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Knott?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The officer's report, it indicates is to approve the continuation of amended policy 15 for driveway crossovers, and we'll continue that the council officers assess approval for new or altered driveways. So it covers it, I think. So no problems with it. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Any other discussion, councillors? Okay, back to Councillor Kelly as the seconder.
No comment.
Councillor King as the mover. All good. Okay, put the vote. All those in favours, please raise your hands. That is unanimous, Marilyn. Thank you. Gov 3. We're governance 3, aren't we?
Two.
Governance 2. Right? Owen? Oh, no, I missed something. Oh, sorry. I went too far. Gov 1. Council approved the following schedule of meeting dates. So who said that? Who moved? Sorry. Councillor King, seconder. Councillor Kelly. Councillor King is the mover.
I'm happy to go with the General Manager's recommendation. I think that moving our meeting times to a slightly earlier time serves our staff a little better, and those of us who have commitments as well outside of those hours. I think that's a sensible move, so thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Kelly?
No, I just concur with Councillor King.
Councillor Sheriff?
Councillor King is correct. Some people do have commitments, and I have work commitments. If you look at the, and correct me if I'm wrong, the stated time by Legat is 5 o'clock, is that right? So it's not at 5 o'clock at the moment, it's at 4 o'clock, which I'm quite happy to lean a little bit on the early side, but I would rather start work for as long as I can, and it actually allows members of the public to get to meetings too, because it can be potentially after their work time as well. Thank you.
Councillor, do you want to comment? No. Okay. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor, I agree with Councillor Sheriff.
Okay. Okay, Councillor Cameron.
I understand that if it was after hours, it would benefit the public, and I would be happy to do that. But we also have no real control over who may attend from the public and what their work hours are. What we do have control over is the council staff's work hours, and I feel that in recent times meetings have gone a fair bit longer than originally intended. From my point of view, anyway, and so I'd be happy to support the earlier start time, particularly for their benefit, and maybe a little bit of my own.
Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Bower.
No big shock that I don't support this at all. So I'm in total agreeance with Councillor Sheriff. I work full time, and hence any time that I can gain back where I don't have to do extra hours. I'm so glad that we're all considerate about other staff, but not around the people that actually sit round the table. That's my two bobs worth.
Thanks, Councillor Bower. Any other comments, councillors? Well, I might as well have two bobs worth. We're all two bobs worth. And we are paid to act as councillors. We are paid to turn up to meetings. We're all busy working, doing things. I don't get paid overtime to work after hours by anybody, so I'm happy to go with an earlier start date and try and knock this off earlier in the day and get home in reasonable time. So that's my view. So anyone else before we put it? No, back to Councillor Kelly as the seconder. You're happy to go? No comment? Councillor King?
I just wanted to thank Wayne for drawing to the attention that there is an honorarium received, and also to acknowledge the issue of officers' health and safety after they've worked a full day. They ought to be able to also go home at a reasonable time. So, thank you.
Right. On the basis, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please put your hands up. So it is Johnson, King, Sinfield, Knott, Cameron, Kelly. All those against? Temple, Sheriff, Bower. That is carried. Thank you. Governance 2, appointment of council representatives on various committees and organisations. Somebody would like to move? Councillor Kelly. Somebody would like to second? Councillor Cameron. Councillor Cameron as the seconder. Any comments? Councillor Cameron as the seconder.
Oh, sorry, I was just getting all excited to tell you what I was going to say. Look, I'm happy with it. Obviously, everybody else was happy with it. Other might not have indicated their interest to sit on that committee. So I'm happy to go ahead.
Thank you. Councillor Kelly?
Yeah, happy, no comment.
Right, councillors? Discussion? Comments? Questions? Going once? Twice? Put the vote then. All those in favour as it stands at the moment? That is unanimous. Thank you, John. Oh, sorry. You weren't going to say anything anyway. Governance 3. Appointment of members to special committees of council. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to second? Councillor Kelly, you just know Councillor King's got to go by 6, don't you? Seconder of the motion? Councillor King. Councillor King is the second. You want to comment?
I look at the number of special committees that we have, and I look at the number of people who volunteer their time on a weekly, monthly, quarterly basis, however often these committees meet, plus the work that they all do, and just wanted to draw to the meeting's attention the amount of volunteer hours that are expended across those special committees, and make mention and acknowledgement of that fact.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Kelly?
Yes, look, Councillor King summed it up very nicely, and I just get an impression that there seems to be a bit more vibrance in the community with it as far as these committees and that go. They seem to be a lot more active, so it's well done to the communities.
Okay. Any other comments, councillors? Questions? Comments? Okay. If not, yep. We should thank those people that sit on those committees that look after the assets that are in our community, so that's good. I'll put the vote.
Order.
All those in favour? That's unanimous. Marilyn, thank you. Righto. Before we finish up, before we head into closed, I'd like to say, before we head into Christmas, thank you to the councillors for putting your time and effort into what you do for representing the community, and we do sit here representing the community. I'd like to thank the community for being part of the Meander Valley, obviously, and I'd lastly like to thank the staff for their time and the effort that they've put in right through this trying time, and we can't wait to see the back of 2020. And just to finish up, it's Andy Sheriff's birthday today. So, happy birthday.